Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way
to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Is there a heaven? Oh, yeah. It's the place dreams come true.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Good morning. The rain is finally here. It's supposed to be raining today, this Wednesday, the 24th. And also Thursday, the 25th, rain finally coming to the North State. Good evening, everybody. I'm Jerry O'Lennon. I am joined today by a woman who knows what it's like to grow up Muslim. And, you know, it's difficult for me not to have anger and hatred, and I have to admit this, about some segments of our society, and I know that's a terrible thing, and I have to fight it because you see all these horrible images that are to take place on the news, and we know what we're talking about with the brutal killings of Americans and British, and it's hard to really not hate those people, and you have to pray not to hate them and pray for them. That's what we're supposed to do. Gidi Hansen is a marriage and family therapist registered intern at Chico at the Growing Place. And she grew up as a Muslim. She grew up in Iran. She got married. She converted to Christianity at the age of 28. But she knows a lot about growing up as a Muslim. And good morning to you, Gidi.
Good morning. And actually, I grew up in America.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
You were born in
Iran. I was born in Iran, okay. And I went back and forth to Iran, and I did grow up in a bicultural environment, but
okay.
I grew up in America, and I just wanted to share today what it feels like to grow up as a foreigner and a Muslim in America in the 50s and the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
And this is before we had any of this terrorism or any of this news about Islam.
Mm-hmm.
I remember even in school, we never studied Middle Eastern history. We started with the Greeks, so they conquered the Persians. So it was all over for the Middle East. And even as we studied European history, very little was said about the Moors or the Muslims or the Muslim conquest or the Crusades. And so I was this unknown brown person, technically white, who had, quote unquote, invaded the non-segregated all-white schools in Arlington, Virginia, and I was hated.
You were hated just by your appearance?
Just by my hair and my skin. And then they find out I'm not a Christian, and they were all strong Christians.
Uh-huh.
And so I was told that
Back in Virginia, yeah, they would be.
And I was told, you're going to hell, you're a nigger, you're this, you're that. And I was even persecuted for being Jewish, which, you know, I considered it an honor.
Uh-huh.
And I never defended myself to say, you're mistaken, I'm not a black person. Or back then we'd say, I'm not a Negro.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a Jew. I'm actually a Muslim. But I thought, you know, if I deny that, it makes it look like it's shameful to be those things.
Uh-huh.
So I never denied it.
But the way you grew up as a Muslim back in the 60s and early 70s, so obviously, it sounds you were treated like
I was just
African Americans were same back then in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
So, but now here we are in a different time, and I think people are looking. I hate to say this, but it seems like because of what's happening overseas, people are looking at people who are Muslims the same way that maybe they were looking at them, in some people anyway, back when you were growing up. It's not that bad, or is it?
Well, it depends on where you are and who you are. Like, I never covered my head in public.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord only knows what would have happened to me if I had.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I was spit at, I was catcalled from passing cars, I was hit, I was punched, I was kicked, rocks were thrown at me, I was persecuted, I couldn't go to certain public areas, even though technically I could. And the neighborhood I lived in and the schools I went to, by law, they couldn't keep me out, but they made it very clear, you are not wanted here.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we see a woman with her head covered, or we hear people speaking another language, which my mother often did in public, much to the embarrassment of my older brothers, It would draw stares, it would draw suspicion, distrust, and even hatred. And so I just wanted to sensitize our listeners, whom, you know, I presume by and large are Christians. People feel that. Mm-hmm. We are made, all of us, in the image and likeness of God. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to be a Christian to have your feelings hurt or to realize you are hating me without a cause. You don't even know who I am.
It's the classic case of just painting with a broad brush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we say, oh, well, we see so what's happening. Because I guess we have to mention it again. Just because somebody says they're Muslim and they live by the Muslim faith, that doesn't mean they necessarily are. It's no different than when somebody goes into an abortion clinic and kills an abortion doctor or a worker there and says, I'm representing God. I'm a Christian because you're not supposed to be doing abortions. That person doesn't represent Christianity by any stretch of the imagination.
Exactly.
And people who are opposed to Christianity will just paint with a broad brush and say, well, that wacko says he's a Christian and he went and killed some people, so therefore you're all a bunch of wackos. And I think that's what you're saying, what we're seeing.
Beautiful
here.
Example.
And so how is it that we fight that stereotype and get Muslims to there needs to be some interaction here, doesn't there?
There does. And as I said last week, you know, the battle begins in our own hearts and in our own minds. And we just have to realize this person is someone for whom Christ died. Mm-hmm. This, you know, I didn't go to the Middle East or Africa or Southeast Asia to evangelize the Muslims. And God, in his graciousness, has brought the Muslims here. Mm-hmm. I don't even have to leave my neighborhood. And so I can begin to pray for them. I can ask God to take away my prejudices and my fears. And I can ask him to soften my heart and fill my heart with his love.
The question I'm going to have after the break, speaking with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place, she grew up as a Muslim in the Muslim faith. Can the Muslims have that same attitude of understanding and love toward those in the Christian community? Or is it, you know, by what we see going on in the Middle East? Could that happen here? Does it go both ways? Let me come back.
This is Live Local Talk.
From September 24th, today through November 2nd, it's 40 Days for Life. Christians are invited to pray for an end to abortion. You're also invited to stand and peacefully pray during a 40-day vigil in the public right-of-way outside Planned Parenthood, which is on Cohasset Road. If this is something that interests you, a peaceful demonstration of prayer outside Planned Parenthood, where women do go in to have their pregnancies terminated, and if you are a pro-life person and you would like to take part, you should give Mary a call. Or you could just show up. I mean, they're pretty much there all the time, praying and holding up peaceful signs. The number is 345-8638. You can call Mary at 345-8638. Gidi Hansen is a marriage and family therapist registered intern at The Growing Place in Chico. If you ever need any kind of counseling from a Christian perspective, she would be the person to contact. Her phone number is 514-0108. 514-0108 to get in touch with Gidi. Gidi also grew up as a Muslim in her life until she was 28 years old. She converted to Christianity. And in the break, we talked about how we as Christians should be understanding and loving. And I think, by and large, I feel that Christians do that, at least in the United States. We're not going around beating. I don't see too many cases of Christians going around beating up Muslims. I'm curious whether Muslims will have the same attitude toward Christians. And that's, I think sometimes people go, well, I'll be happy to get along with them as long as they're willing to not come over there and cut my head off. And I don't mean that to be funny. I mean that to be serious. I think that's the difference.
Well, that's a really good question, Jerry. Uh-huh. And, you know, I want you and the listeners to understand that almost all of my relatives are practicing Muslims.
Really?
In Iran and in the Middle East. Some live on the Arab Peninsula in the United Arab Emirates. Mm-hmm. And back in the 80s, I talked to my father's sister and told her about my conversion. And she is and was a very, very religious, devout Muslim. Very kind, a very loving woman, a gracious woman, and a humble woman. And she had a servant's heart. And she wanted to know what Christianity is. She wanted a front row seat. She wanted me to tell her everything, including how I came to Christ. And I told her. And she had spiritual insights and understanding. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at one point I said, Auntie, you know, the Quran says that you're supposed to kill me because I converted from Islam to another religion. Mm-hmm. And I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Not just a prophet, but the Son of God. And I said, you know, what do you think of that? And she just looked at me like I was an alien from Mars. Mm-hmm. She said, I don't believe in that. She said, God gave everybody freedom and free will to choose their religion and to choose their beliefs. Mm-hmm. She said, I wish you had not chosen what you did, but I would never want to hurt you or harm you.
But the fact that the Quran says that, that causes a real problem because
99% of the Muslims that I've ever known would never, ever take it upon themselves to kill somebody who's converted. Uh-huh. It's just so, it is not something that is practiced at all that I know of. Even the most devout ones, even people who are angry and militant, they don't go around killing people. Mm-hmm. And I've met some of the angry militant ones. And I've met angry militant Christians, as you mentioned, pro-lifers, mm-hmm. who are, you know, who do kill. So, you know, one thing we need to understand as Christians is this is not the mindset of 99% of the Muslims I've ever met. Mm-hmm. That, you know, even if they, like I said in one of the shows, one of them brought it up to my brother in the 80s at a dinner party. We're supposed to kill you. And my brother stood up and said, well, go ahead. Mm-hmm. And the guy immediately backed down. I mean, he's not going to do this. Mm-hmm. So what we're dealing with, I think, is a very demonic influence. It's gotten a hold of people. I think Satan is really, really angry because he is losing a lot of ground after 1,400 years of monopolizing millions and billions of people around the world. He is losing ground big time to Jesus. And he's desperate.
So you're saying that there's a lot of Christianity being spread in these parts?
Yes, in the Middle East. We're hearing
where Christians are fleeing because they're frightened of
Now. That's now. But in the 1990s in Iran, there were so many conversions, so many Christian martyrs, so many people who went to prison, who were tortured, and who died witnessing for Christ. And as we know, this is very powerful. Mm. And I think the backlash we saw on 9/11 was the loss of Muslims in Africa, in the Middle East, in Asia, to Christianity.
When I was young, I met Muhammad Ali. I got a chance to go to his house, and I interviewed him. And it was a great memory. And it's, I got to know him, but I spent a good hour with him, and he was telling me about his faith. And I remember telling him, well, you know, you should go with it. I've would probably never say this now, but I was too young and too stupid to realize it. Well, I'm sorry, champ. I think you need to go with Jesus. I said, you need to go with Jesus because he's the Son of God. You need to change your ways. I said that to him, and he was very gracious. And this when he still had his faculties. I want to tell a little bit about that story because it does tie into what we're talking about. Because I have great admiration for Muhammad Ali, who's a Muslim, and he's a good man. He's a decent. He's an honorable man. And I wanted to talk briefly about that when we come back. We're talking to Didi Hanson, The Growing Place, Growing Up a Muslim. It's interesting talking to her about this because I learned so much. We'll be right back.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
All right. Welcome back to the show. I'm speaking with Gidi Hansen of The Growing Place. She grew up as a Muslim. And we're talking about, out of the break, I came back, going into the break, talking about it. When I was a young man, I met Muhammad Ali at his mansion in Los Angeles. And he did magic tricks. And he told me about his Muslim faith. He showed me the Quran. And I remember I was very naive at the time. I had the faith of a child almost. I was like 24 years old. I says, no, champ, you need to believe in Jesus. I mean, he's the son of God. And he smiled. He was very gracious. And he said, well, we believe that Jesus is a great prophet, a great man, a great prophet. But I understand. And he was very, very gracious. And I remember thinking, well, he's a good man. And I read so much about him. And the good deeds that he does. He's very giving. He's very loving. He really was a wonderful man, particularly as he got older and he really, really mellowed. And he was what I think would be the example that we should look at as to what a Muslim should be, as opposed to sometimes what we see now on the news, what's going on with ISIS. Gidi Hansen, tell me about, you said you had a vision that you wanted to share.
Yes, I did. I was in ninth grade, and when I was in junior high school and freshman in high school, I was what I term today, evangelical atheist. Mm-hmm. I was very bitter and very angry at God. I knew he existed, and I believe most atheists know that. Mm-hmm. But they just become very angry, and they're disappointed in life. Mm-hmm. And so here I was in the Bible Belt, and I thought, well, the best way for me to get back at God is to try to convert as many people as I can from their faith to atheism. Mm-hmm. And I just became this obnoxious, outspoken, you know, I look back on that and I'm so embarrassed.
A sweet person like you were not as obnoxious?
Oh.
Overbearing, really?
Well,
no.
I don't know about overbearing, but I was very argumentative and has given me gifts, intellectual gifts, and I could debate somebody and talk them into
like
a corner.
Too. I was like that too.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And so finally, the teacher, I was a member of the forensics club, the debate club, and the teacher didn't know what to do with me, so she decided to call her pastor in. And her pastor came and just used the most inane arguments to try to convert me from atheism and didn't really show me love or respect. And then, as I found out later, actually set me up for a huge fall. Mm-hmm. At the end of our session, which basically just turned into a debate between him and me, everyone else in the group was silent. Nobody dared speak as I argued with this guy, and he argued back. He said at the end, he said, why don't you come to our youth group? Aren't you curious about what Christianity is? You know, we're meeting in two nights on a Thursday night, and you're welcome, and just come, and I promise you, you won't have to talk, you won't have to debate. All you do is just listen and find out. And there was something about that that appealed to me. Mm-hmm. So I told my dad, please drive me to this church. It was in Alexandria, Virginia. It was, maybe 15, 20 minutes away from home. And when I got there, I descended the stairs to go down into the basement where they met, and I felt the presence of God. And I felt these waves, literally I heard the sound of an ocean, and in my mind's eye, I saw an ocean, and every time a wave came up to the shore, this peace would pass over me. And now I'm famous for being an atheist, and I said to God that night, I said, God, if this is what I can experience by believing in you, I'm ready to believe in you tonight. Mm-hmm. And that's the kind of person I was. I was impulsive, impetuous. Mm-hmm. And so I go into this group, and there were maybe 30 kids there, and the pastor hadn't showed up yet. And they didn't greet me, but some of them were kind, and some of them ignored me, and some of them gave me dirty looks. Long story short, the pastor comes in, they sing songs for a while, and then he says, there is someone among us that I warned you about. There is someone among us who will try to take away your faith. When you graduate and you go away to college, you're going to run into people like her. Mm-hmm. And I told her she wouldn't have to talk tonight. Mm-hmm. But because I didn't want her to prepare anything. Mm-hmm. And they all turned around and looked at me. Mm-hmm. And I knew that look. I knew that look of hatred and that you're the other and you're the outsider and we hate you. And he said, now I'm going to tell her to come up here and tell us why she's an atheist. And kids, be careful. She's really smart. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I felt such a pain rise up from my soul, and I could feel it come up through my throat. And I knew when it hit my mouth, I would burst out crying. And my pride took over, and I thought, I will not cry in front of these hateful people. Mm-hmm. This man who lied to me. Mm-hmm. And I felt betrayed by God again, because I had already told him, I'm ready to believe in you.
Good point, good story.
And at that moment, we were in the basement, and it was night, and outside was dark. But I looked up, and I saw this huge sun shining in the sky. Mm-hmm. And I saw these two clouds come and collide over the sun and obscure it. And at the same time, there was this loud thunder, and I knew in my vision, and I'm talking about an open vision, not a vision in my mind. I saw it on the ceiling. Mm-hmm. This loud thunder, and I knew it was God's anger, and I knew he wasn't angry at me. I knew he was angry at that man.
Yeah.
And after that, there was a beam of light that came out from these two clouds that collided. It came straight down and hit my heart. When it hit my heart, my tears, my anger, that choking in my throat disappeared, and I just felt God literally lift up my spirits like I was a sailing ship, fill my sails with his wind, push me forward, and say, go tell them why you don't believe in me. Mm-hmm. Now, that's the irony of God. I'm going to give you the grace to tell these people who are persecuting you why you don't believe in me.
What'd you tell them?
Well, they had a banner that said, go ye into all nations. I didn't know that was from Matthew. And they had a world map down. So I went up to the front of the class. I didn't realize how God was rebuking them through me. And I said, well, it says here, go ye into all nations. Well, tonight I'm here to tell you the nations have come to you. Mm-hmm. Which, if you think about it, is a huge rebuke. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, your pastor didn't introduce me. This is my name. This is who I am. This is where I'm born. And this is what I believe. And they just started yelling at me and catcalls and calling me names. And I made a promise to God. I said, God, get me out of here alive, and I will never deny your name again.
Wow, how an interesting story.
And I never did. And one kid followed me upstairs as I was waiting for my dad and began kicking me in the parking lot.
I wish we had more time. We'll continue this next week. I love talking to you about this. Edie Hansen, she joins us on Wednesdays. She's from The Growing Place, a marriage and family therapist registered intern. If you ever have some issues you want to talk to, give her a call. Her number is 514-0108. Have a good day.